Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Alaska Marine Highway System ferry Lakanti will continue to be out of service leading into the weekend. The ferry, which services southeast Alaska communities, was moored in Juneau because of engine trouble last weekend. The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities staff said they had hoped to have the ferry up and running by today. However, spokesperson Shannon McCarthy said that it still needs some work.
Our mechanics are working, you know, around the clock to get that fixed. Unfortunately, we are confident that we'll not be able to get the ship back in the water and get the U.S. Coast Guard with our approvals in time for Friday's sailing, so we are canceling that.
The ferry began experiencing engine loss and other mechanical issues last weekend when traveling from Hoonah to Cake. Ferry staff decided to have it towed to Juneau for repairs, but the service disruption left many on the ship stuck in Juneau, including the Cake cross-country team. McCarthy said the department is offering refunds or rebookings for affected passengers on the MV Hubbard or a catamaran, but it cannot provide transportation for vehicles. Alaska Marine Highway staff scrambled to fix the ferry before the start of the Klondike Road Relay on Friday. Many in Juneau and Haines rely on the Lakanti to transport their teams and vehicles to Skagway for the start of the race.
As vessels age, they require a lot more TLC. We do try to get anything fixed when they're in for their normal service in the shipyard. But because vessels are older, you know, some unforeseen circumstances will happen.
McCarthy says the department plans to share another update on the vessel status on Saturday. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. After 8 days of deliberation, the jury in a sexual assault trial against a former Juneau chiropractor returned a verdict of not guilty on two counts and hung jury on 12 others today. 12 former patients accused Jeffrey Foltz of sexual assault under the guise of medical care. They said the incidents took place during medical appointments between 2014 and 2020, while he was employed at Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium in Juneau. Foltz's defense argued that he was offering legitimate medical care to these patients. The trial lasted 6 weeks and deliberations began on August 25th. Since then, the jury has been deliberating on 13 counts of sexual assault and one count of sexual harassment against Foltz. The jury has now decided Foltz is not guilty on two counts of sexual assault. Jurors are unable to return a unanimous verdict on the 12 other counts. Those charges have been declared a mistrial. That means those charges, alongside the two that were declared mistrials during proceedings, can be retried if the state chooses to do so. And researchers continue to investigate a massive landslide and tsunami that hit a fjord popular among sightseeing cruises in southeast Alaska last month. A mountainside of rock crashed into the water at the end of Tracy Arm, near the terminus of the South Sawyer Glacier, generating a tsunami wave that scored the shoreline of vegetation in the surrounding area and even disrupted tides in Juneau, about 75 miles away. As Alaska State seismologist Michael West told Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove, it was early in the morning, and luckily, no cruise ships or tour boats were in the fjord at the time.
I feel pretty comfortable saying that anything that was actually at the terminus of this glacier, right at the base of this landslide, would have been absolutely obliterated. I cannot see any way around that. Fortunately, we do not have reports of folks who were really close to the slide, say, you know, within a mile or something. But I can only imagine that would have been an extremely violent affair.
Yeah, and how big was it? How would you describe the size of the landslide itself?
I don't have an intuitive conceptual understanding of those. So I tend to go to, pretty simple analogies. The one that I think of is a giant cube of rock that is something on the order of 3 to 4 football fields on all three sides. Well, that's huge. What is that? Something like a quarter mile in each dimension?
There's been some time, I guess, now to go directly look at the aftermath. And there was this huge wave that was created. I mean, do we have any sense of really how big that wave was? And what did it actually do there?
So this slide occurred on one side of the fjord. And when it struck the water, that water, think of it as sloshing up onto the other side of the fjord. You know, it sloshed, you know, well over 1,000 feet, something probably on the order of 1,400 feet up the mountainside, which again is a tremendous height. When you've got water moving at speeds like this, it strips out absolutely everything in its way. It doesn't matter how big the trees were. They're gone when water like that hits. So the mountainside where there was forest is just stripped down to bare rock.
Wow. So, I mean, talking about, you know, the risk to people and infrastructure, does climate play a role in these landslides and in the subsequent tsunamis?
So the climate piece of this story is a very active research area right now. We know that we have retreating glaciers in most glaciers in Alaska, not all, but most are retreating. And we have a surprising number of data points where these landslides have occurred not kind of near the end of the glacier, but right there, right above the terminus of the glacier. This one, last fall, Surprise Glacier in Prince William Sound. We have a host of other examples. And so I think that it is not a coincidence that there's a significant number of these slides that are happening right at the end of glaciers. Now, the exact mechanisms of that, the exact explanations, that's a very energetic area of research right now.
And I mean, speaking of which, there are areas like the Barry Arm close to Whittier that scientists are keeping a pretty close eye on. How could you possibly spot something like this happening before it falls? And, you know, I guess this glacier, the Sawyer Glacier, it's visited often by cruise excursions. You know, so that, I mean, that seems like a pertinent question, you know, whether or not you could, you know, be able to predict something like that happening in a place where people are active.
Yeah, this is the million-dollar question. How do we live, coexist with this kind of hazard? There's a handful of different tools that can be used to identify problematic slopes, I'm going to call them, in advance. A lot of the best tools come from satellite remote sensing. So there are places where we see mountainsides that have begun to inch down, you know, each year or in little bursts, and that we can get from satellites. And what that allows us to do is to identify kind of hot spots or hazard areas. You know, here are the 50 locations across coastal Alaska where we see something that suggests signs of movement. That works as long as the landslide actually shows motion before it lets go. To my knowledge, so far, we have not found for Tracy Arm evidence that this had been creeping or sliding over the past several years. This happened, geologically speaking, quite suddenly. One of the things that has us really intrigued by the Tracy Arm slide is that it is now in just a handful of large landslides worldwide that showed seismic signals. Think of this as pops and creaks, if you will, in the hours and probably days before failure. These seismic precursors are a big deal. The seismic records from that morning are burned in my memory. And next time, if I stumble across a record like that from somewhere in the state, you can bet your butt it's got my attention.
That was Alaska State seismologist Michael West talking to Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove about the August 10th landslide and tsunami in Tracy Arm. And Alaska's Department of Law is asking a judge to throw out much of a class action lawsuit over the state's failure to process food assistance applications on time. Thousands of Alaskans are caught in the backlogs that have plagued the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, and other aid programs for years. But the state argues a recent Supreme Court case means they shouldn't be allowed to sue. Attorney Saimi Akhtar is part of the legal team suing the state. She says lawsuits like the SNAP case are an important way for citizens to hold their government accountable.
Unfortunately, for better or for worse, a lot of times agencies function better when there is oversight and when they are being held to standards and to account for what they are doing.
In June, the Supreme Court ruled that a South Carolina Planned Parenthood chapter could not sue the state over violations of the federal law outlining the Medicaid program. The justices ruled 6-3 that only the federal government could enforce that law. Alaska Department of Law attorneys argue in a filing Tuesday that the decision means hungry Alaskans shouldn't be allowed to enforce deadlines set out in the law that created SNAP. The state says the ongoing court battle takes time and resources away from the Department of Health's effort to end the backlog, especially because the department continues to struggle with understaffing. Akhtar says there's no excuse. She says the state's continued failure to clear the backlog means oversight is necessary.
I think we all have parts of our job we don't like and we wouldn't choose. And also, we all have to do them. I file taxes every year. I don't particularly like the process. It takes me time, and I do them.
Department officials report that they are making progress on the SNAP backlog, which stood at roughly 3,000 in August. And now for a quick look at weather today. It is 73 degrees and sunny out in Juneau. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of around 55 degrees. Tomorrow will also be sunny with a high near 70. Looking into the weekend, it will mostly be sunny on Saturday with a high near 66. And Sunday will also be sunny. This is KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in.